This is Jay Sekulow. More attacks by the American Humanist Association and an update on Pastor Saeed's case. Hold your head
up, live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The Peace Cross was originally and always intended to be a secular memorial to the veterans of World War I. It does have plaques and inscriptions on it that serve that purpose, but there is no religious language on the cross whatsoever.
It's on government property owned by the government, and that sends a message that Christianity is preferred by the government. I'd like them to just agree to take it down, take down the cross.
The country was founded on the freedom of all beliefs. And that's the peace that I need to bring forth to the city. People, when they believe in God, they believe that they're right and they're the only ones that are right. We're not doing this because we have anything against their religion. We just want everyone's beliefs to be respected.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
I didn't think it would bother anybody having a cross here. Like I said, it was comforting to our family and to many other people.
You know, like I said, I'm in your universe here in Fox. Let me make it clear. You want to talk about presidents, Megan? John Quincy Adams put his hand on a book of laws, not the Bible, when he took the oath. A very devout Christian himself, because he loved the separation of church and state, which makes our country greater than any other country.
So why can't you have that, and then the people who want to say it, well, they get to say it?
What was your question? The people that want to say it make it to say it?
Yeah, I mean, you're trying to get rid of it altogether. Help me, God, when they take you.
Excuse me.
Hey, I'm just asking
the
question.
John Quincy.
Mikey, chill.
Okay, chill.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. We're going to cover a couple of topics today. Of course, the American Humanist Association, who's attacked this World War I memorial in Washington, D.C. By the way, Jordan was out there. We're going to have a posted video on that this afternoon going up on Facebook and onto our website as well. Later in the broadcast, we're going to be joined by Todd Starnes on a case, another case involving the American Humanist Association, their demand that students stop in a feeding program to help kids in Haiti. We're going to get the details of that. We're taking your calls as well at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. But I want to start this with a conversation with Jordan about Pastor Saeed. We've got some very troubling developments.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. We have not publicized this to date, so this is brand new information. We do not want to go public. Saeed was getting medical treatment, actually, at a hospital in Iran, still under, of course, guard, still under the same kind of circumstance, but was able to get some treatment. And today, all of a sudden, that treatment was shut down. He never really got surgery, so that was stalled out throughout the whole process. But it seemed like it was getting there. We were trying to keep that quiet, not talk about it publicly, so that it wouldn't put that at more risk of being stopped, canceled, or politicizing that whatsoever. And today, after the EU's high representative left Tehran, Saeed was put back in shackles. And at this point, we actually don't know if he's still at a hospital or has been taken back to a prison, but we need people to be in prayer and to speak out on that issue, and that is why we have not been talking about it as much, because he's been at that hospital. We were trying, you know, do everything we can so he would get the care by not publicizing it, but today is at risk, and we've got to go public.
Let me ask you to do two things for us. One is visit BeHeardProject.com. That's BeHeardProject.com, and you can get information there. Of course, SaveSaeed.org as well, and we'll have links up on our Facebook to those. Also, be in prayer. We are going to be dispatching, hopefully, a team to the region that'll be led by Jordan. We're going to have the confirmation of that in the next week or so, and that'll give us another chance to work again. Even when we're not talking about Pastor Saeed's case, understand we're working on it. So we wanted to give you that update. So now we're going to go back to the situation with the American Humanist Association, who seem to be driving around the country looking for crosses so they can file complaints and other things. We're going to be joined by Todd Starnes from Fox News in just a moment. Folks, if you want to talk to us on air, 800-684-3110. But we've got a huge response to our committee to save that World War I memorial. I mean, what an unbelievable response at ACLJ.org. 59,415 have signed on to it. You could do it at ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255.
For nearly 90 years, a memorial has stood in Bladensburg, Maryland, to honor the 49 men from that area who gave their lives in World War I. A historic and patriotic memorial that is now under attack. A group called the American Humanist Association has filed a lawsuit to have the Peace Cross Memorial removed. Those filing the suit say they are, quote, shocked and upset by the Cross Memorial and have asked a federal court to remove it. This is just the latest in a series of troubling tactics used to attack long-standing war memorials designed to honor America's heroes. The ACLJ is standing with this Maryland town, standing up to this flawed lawsuit, preparing an amicus brief to defend this Cross Memorial. You can stand with the ACLJ too by signing on to this critical brief. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top two in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
Hey,
welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We're taking your calls. That's our friend John Schlitt working with our band here at Jay Sekulow Live. And let me also say this. We're going to be joined by Todd Starnes from Fox News in just a moment. The Air Force Academy has also removed a Bible verse from a cadet's whiteboard, believe it or not. And that's also making news. And that's the threats from Mikey Weinstein, director of the Military Religious Freedom Foundation. By the way, we're sending our Skip Ash up to meet with the to West Point and a couple of these other academies because this trend that we're seeing, we're just really concerned with, to be quite frank. So we've got a team working on it. We've got Todd Starnes joining us, a good friend of ours from Fox News, who has reported last month on a piece. And since we've been covering the American Humanist Associations, who seem to be driving around the United States, Todd, looking for crosses to attack, you had a very interesting story, though, where they went after kids that were basically providing food for kids in distress in Haiti. Welcome to the broadcast, and again, thanks for being with us.
Hi, Jay. Thanks for letting me hang out with you. Yeah, this latest attack from the American Humanist Association happened in Robbinsville, Minnesota. A school was doing a community service project at a local Lutheran church. They were basically putting together food boxes that were going to be sent to starving children in Haiti. And when the American Humanist Association found out about that, they fired off a series of letters and accused them of violating the Constitution and threatened to sue if they didn't stop trying to feed starving children.
So the irony of this, of course, is so these kids, Todd, you know, we've been covering this situation with this World War I monument that is a memorial actually outside of D.C. Jordan went there yesterday, and this is another one that's being attacked by the American Humanist Association. It's only been up since 1925. It was dedicated in honor of the 49 people from Prince George's County that died during the during World War I. Never been a problem with it, and of course, they're you know, now the American Humanist Association's on a rampage on this thing. But Todd, let me ask you this: the situation that you covered, and you always have such great reports on FoxNews.com. This one seems so, even for the American Humanist Association, to me, seems so bizarre because these kids were, that was just, the church was just the location at which to assemble the boxes going to Haiti, the food going to Haiti. It wasn't any kind of proselytizing.
No proselytizing at all. But the humanists took a special offense that they were using biblical terminology. They called the packages manna packages. And in their letter, their threatening letter to the school district, the humanist also took issue with the fact that Calvary Lutheran Church actually looked like a church. And they provided photographic evidence that included a choir clad in robes, stained glass windows, and Jay, even a church steeple. Oh, the horror the atheist must have felt.
Jordan has got a question for you, too, Todd. But I'm gonna tell you, in this case that we're looking at in Maryland, so in the complaint, they actually, you and I talked about this at the NRB convention a couple weeks ago, some of these, the absurd nature of this. They said this, so this monument's been there, like I said, since 1925. So the guy that's complaining drives his bicycle once a month or so and goes by the area and has what he calls an unwarranted encounter with the cross, as if the cross is, you know, grabbing his attention and shaking him as he drives by. Of course, my answer is go a different route if it's that offensive to you. But, Jordan, you've got a question for Todd.
Well, yeah, Todd, I mean, you get to actually talk to them. I mean, sometimes we get to debate them. Usually that gets pretty heated right off the bat, and it kind of goes from there. But you get to talk to them and report their words, report their statements. People always ask us, you know, what's wrong with these groups? Do they really believe this? Talk to people about the experience. When you call them up to get their point of view so you can write the story and make it clear, most of the times they kind of make the headline. I mean, their statements, their content, their words. Is it anger when they're even just doing a story, or is this honestly what they believe? Do they feel like they're doing some duty?
Jordan, Lord love them, they're just wackadoodles. That's the only explanation. Some of these folks, you just have to sit there and you scratch your head and go, what are these people thinking? Just think about this for a moment. It really takes a special kind of godless thuggery to take food out of the mouths of starving children. Yep. Yeah. And Jay, just a few moments ago, you mentioned the situation that we wrote the story last night about what's happening at the Air Force Academy. Yeah. We've got a breaking news update on that one, sir. After we ran our story, we understand that dozens of Air Force cadets, in a show of solidarity, went to their own personal whiteboards and started posting Bible verses. And now Mikey Weinstein and his organization are threatening to go to federal court this afternoon to have all of these cadets punished and brought up on court-martial charges.
You know, I've debated him multiple times. He has an animus that is unbelievable, actually. And we've had to actually deploy people from our offices, the ACLJ, Todd, to the military academies to say, look, there's two sides to this story, and you better get the other side. And one's called the Constitution of the United States that protects these cadets. And Mikey Weinstein, though, runs roughshod over these military academies, whether it's West Point, whether it's the Air Force. I debated him at the Air Force Academy. I've done debates at some of the other military institutions as well. But this is a serious enough problem where the military just tends to overreact. But the student's response, I think, is great, classic student response, getting around their friend and helping them out. And that's certainly a way to do it. Todd, you've got a book coming out. I know it's a couple months away yet. Called God Less America. Tell a little bit about it.
Really excited about this book because we sort of catalog all of these attacks on religious liberty since President Obama was inaugurated. More than 250 pages of stories about Americans who have come under attack because of their faith in God. And so we tell their stories, and we also sort of scope out what the future is going to look like unless people of faith take a stand to this nonsense. And Mike Huckabee wrote the foreword. It's already got the endorsements of folks like Sean Hannity and others. So we're very excited about the book. It comes out May 6th, and we're going to be doing a national book tour and really talking about this issue of religious liberty. It's an issue that the mainstream media refuses to cover. And I got to tell you something, Jay. As you know, you and Jordan, you guys are at the forefront of this fight. Our religious rights are under assault.
In ways that actually, I'll tell you, I've been doing this a long time. I've been practicing law since 1980, so I've been doing these cases since the mid-80s. So, you know, almost 30 years. And I've actually, it's a whole different genre of case now. It's a whole different type of case. And like the attacks on the cross, I mean, you and Fox reported this yesterday. The drive side crosses, where I call them, you know, the memorial crosses that have been put up, they're temporarily put up. They're usually because someone's lost a loved one in a car accident. And you got the American Humanist Association, Todd, like driving around the country trying to find these things to cause problems. And they generally pick on small towns who they know their resources are limited. And we'll come in and defend them. But the fact is, that's their modus operandi. Go after the small town and scare them out of any symbolism, even when it's put up by a private citizen.
You know, if I can take off my columnist hat for a moment and put on my my Christian church-going hat, thank God for the ACLJ and the work that you guys are doing protecting these Christians that are being persecuted. They're being persecuted for their faith, and thank goodness for your supporters, the folks that are allowing you guys and providing you guys the resources to come to their defense. I mean, you guys really are the heroes and the warriors that are out there, you know, fighting these battles for us as Americans and as Christians. And I mean, that's just something that's pretty spectacular in my book.
Well, I appreciate that, Todd. I also want to thank you, as I did at the NRB convention, for your work on breaking the story on Pastor Syed. We got a troubling development. Let me give Jordan, give a one-minute update on that. Todd was not with us at the time. Jordan, give a one-minute update for people just joining us.
Yeah, we have not been reporting a lot about Syed Abedini, and for the people just joining us now, we get questions, of course, people calling in saying, what is his status, how is he doing, and the reason why we had not been talking about it as much, because we knew from his family in Iran that he was actually at a hospital, and we didn't want to do anything that would stand in the way or get in the way of potential medical treatment. He's never received treatment. He gets some pain medication sometimes, and sometimes he gets medical reviews, but no actual treatment, and he was about to get it, and then the EU's high representative, who is also involved in the nuclear negotiations, was in Iran, and things were looking okay. We were keeping as quiet as possible. I had a lot going on. We have a team at the UN right now in Geneva and other trips coming about, but we did not want to put this out there because we wanted him to get the treatment. And now, the moment the EU high representative left Tehran, Syed was put back in shackles, and actually his family very concerned about where he is or if he's even been returned to the prison.
And Todd, again, we appreciate you speaking out on this. We're out of time on this segment, but check Todd Starnes' articles out, his postings and his op-eds on foxnews.com. Does great work. Todd, thanks for being with us.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you. Todd does great work, folks. You want to check him out on foxnews.com. We're thrilled to be there with him on this in this fight. Folks, ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255 to sign on to this committee that's really growing to support this World War I memorial. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Again, ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Also, we're in a matching challenge campaign, folks. What does that mean? We want you to join with us. You make an online contribution to the ACLJ, we get a matching grant for it. You can do that at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. But sign on to that committee at 877-989-2255. Back with your calls in a moment.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. For nearly 90 years, a memorial has stood in Bladensburg, Maryland, to honor the 49 men from that area who gave their lives in World War I. A historic and patriotic memorial that is now under attack. A group called the American Humanist Association has filed a lawsuit to have the Peace Cross Memorial removed. Those filing the suit say they are, quote, shocked and upset by the Cross Memorial and have asked a federal court to remove it. This is just the latest in a series of troubling tactics used to attack long-standing war memorials designed to honor America's heroes. The ACLJ is standing with this Maryland town, standing up to this flawed lawsuit, preparing an amicus brief to defend this cross memorial. You can stand with the ACLJ too by signing on to this critical brief. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
That's going to be one that I'm going to have the guys on our Friday afternoon, the guys that help run this broadcast come in, and we're going to do that Crossroads song just because, in honor of the American Humanist Association, because they are anything that's got a cross, I think even a song they'd probably disagree with. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Well, good news on one front here. ACLJ's Facebook crosses 500,000. My Facebook crossed 479,000. So the goal is by the end of this month, we're over a million between both and growing. Like us on Facebook, share us on Facebook. And I will tell you that when you look at what we're talking with, and I want Jordan let's take a call, but then I want Jordan to explain what he saw yesterday when he went to this monument, which we're gonna post in a little bit. And by the way, if you haven't signed on to this committee that's going to be filing this brief, we want representation from all 50 states, which we're going to get. We've got over 59,000 people already signed up. You can add your name as well at aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's aclj.org or 877-989-2255. On tomorrow's broadcast, I'm going to get into some of what's on these monuments in Washington, D.C., which will give you an idea of also what's happening. But let me give you just one little quote here. This is on the Jefferson Memorial. It has, "I've sworn upon the altar of God eternal, hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man." So right there, he's got God in the quote that's on the Jefferson Memorial. Maybe they'll complain about that. Jordan, let's take a phone call here.
Yeah, right to the phones we go. Martin in California online too. Martin, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Martin.
Gentlemen, I have a neighbor near 90 years old in World War II, and he has enough common decency and common respect, and he says these memorials ought to be some sort of grandfather clause.
In other words, let them stay up it's not just a grandfather clause. I understand that. But, Martin, what it is there's no violation of the Constitution here in the first place to put up a war memorial that happens to have a cross on it. Now, Jordan, you saw it yesterday. Describe it for everybody.
Sure. I mean, it's about 15, 20 minutes from our offices in Washington, D.C., and I wouldn't say it's an outskirts of D.C., but it's kind of one of those you could drive right from the city and you don't go on an expressway or anything. You go right into this area, which obviously been built up around a section of memorials, mostly from the American Legion, from different world wars or Vietnam, and there's a graveyard nearby. And in the middle of a busy intersection is what a cross has been there since 1925. And so obviously there's been areas built up around it. It's kind of a business area. It's not a residential area right there. It's a lot of high traffic, but in the sense that people are going right by it. They're not really, slowing down. And though we did hear from people who saw us outside the cross, saw us filming it, and talked about immediately that they've heard people now want to tear this down. It's a symbol. There's nothing religious on the actual cross. There's no Bible verses, no religious text. The word God will not be found there. Instead, it's a quote from Woodrow Wilson, the 49 names, which we'll show people in the video that we post today, and just a discussion about what the cross is there for. The cross is there to honor the 49 men who, it says, gave their life for liberty in the Great War. And it's been there, and it was for 1917, 1918, and it's been there since 1925. So it's a historic monument. You can tell the age of it, but you can also see that the community has grown up around it and changed around it, and it's not been a problem.
By the way, we just got notification that the video that Jordan's done on this is going to be up on the website in about and on social media in about 10 minutes. So go to ACLJ's Facebook page. I'm sure it'll be on Jordan's as well as mine. So we encourage you to do that as well. That it, again, we wanted to bring you right there to it. We don't just talk about the issues on this broadcast. We do something about it. Folks, here's what I need. We're just shy of 60,000 signatures. I would really appreciate if everybody that's listening to the broadcast right now would go to ACLJ.org or call us at 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. We are 104 away from 60,000 signatures that'll go on this brief. We want you to be part of this committee that's going to stand up for this World War I Memorial Cross. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. I'm literally 104 away from crossing over to 60,000. Jordan, let's go to the next one.
Yeah, back to the phones we go. Let's go to Dave in California on line one. Dave, welcome to JSecio Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Dave.
If these people who are objecting to crosses, monuments, and so forth,
yep,
it is so offensive, then why do they go around looking for them to be offended by them? It makes about as much sense as saying, I hate skunk's odor so much, I'm going to go and visit them and pet them and stroke them. They used to call these kinds of suits nuisances.
Yeah, well, the problem is these groups, look, they intimidated a town out in California that actually removed a roadside cross placed by the parents of a young teenager that was killed by a drunk driver. They went after another memorial cross that had not only a cross on a memorial symbol for World War II veterans, that had not only a cross, had a Star of David, looks like a symbol from either a Buddhist symbol or an Islamic symbol on it, and they went after that one as well. And the quote on that one was, freedom is never free. So it's as if I said this, they're driving around the country looking to do something, you know, to attack these crosses. This seems to be their modus operandi. But nevertheless, that's why we're fighting back and fighting back very aggressively here. Folks, we are now within about 80 away from hitting the goal for the day of 60,000. Go to ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Jordan, let's take another call here.
Yeah, back to the phones we go, 1-800-684-3110. I do want to tell people, too, the update on site. We'll post a blog on ACLJ.org. That's coming as well, so that you can read that, understand fully what we've talked about and briefly mentioned on the broadcast today, the latest update on Iranian-American pastor Saeed Abedin in prison in Iran, and why we have not been talking about it as much recently and why we started talking about it again today publicly. Let's go to Jess in Kansas Online 4. Jess, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Jess.
God bless you guys, and thank you for all that you do. My comment, Jay, is the American humanists and the atheists are all the time petitioning the government to take down these structures. Isn't there anything that you can do that we can all stand behind you on to petition
yep.
the government?
Here's what we have to do. We've got to be able to file these briefs and respond to them in court. They're going to court. We've got to go there as well. I want to play a quick soundbite for you. I'm glad you called, Jess. This was from a local reporter in KCAL in California talking about a cross being removed. Listen to what he said.
Devaney watched this afternoon as the cross was dug up and removed. It was a very emotional experience.
I didn't think it would bother anybody having a cross here. Like I said, it was comforting to our family and to many other people.
This was the cross for her son, who was killed by a drunk driver. And the American Humanist Association, American Atheist Association, these groups complained, and the city said remove them. And the outcry on that should be dramatic. Now, you heard what Todd Starnes said earlier. They did this also at the Air Force, the Naval Academy, Air Force Academy. And what happened? The cadets are saying, well, other cadets went and put Bible verses up on their whiteboards. So this tells you the nature of the fight. But, folks, we are about 50 shy of hitting the target of 60,000. But I need your help for this. Go to ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Help us get over 60,000. We want to get there. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Signing on to this committee that's going to file a brief standing up for that World War I memorial. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Folks, we've got a lot more broadcasts ahead. If you're not getting the full hour, just go over to ACLJ.org. We're streaming it live there.
Thank you.
This is just the latest in a series of troubling tactics used to attack long-standing war memorials designed to honor America's heroes. The ACLJ is standing with this Maryland town, standing up to this flawed lawsuit, preparing an amicus brief to defend this cross memorial. You can stand with the ACLJ too by signing on to this critical brief. Call now 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Happy to report 60,101 signatures on that petition right now. They're really, I should say, the committee to stand up for that World War I memorial. That's some really great news. We're thrilled with that. So, again, thank you to all the people that are signing that at aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. Folks, we're going to go through and take your calls. We're talking about the American Atheist Humanist Association going after roadside crosses, World War I memorials, or students that are packaging food together at a church in to go to Haiti. And they didn't like the fact that it was being packaged at a church, which the church allowed the school to use it for free. That's the American Humanist Association. We've got a ton of calls coming in. Let's go right to them, Jordan.
Yeah, back to the phones we go. 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Darlene in Iowa on line 5. Darlene, welcome to JCCO Live.
Hi, Darlene.
Very much for what you're doing.
Sure.
If I'm remembering right, the U.S. Supreme Court said that atheism is a religion.
Correct.
Now, if the government removes the crosses because it would be establishing a religion, then by removing the crosses, they are establishing the religion of atheism.
And there's another aspect of the church-state separation doctrine, and that is you can't show hostility towards religion. And by targeting the way they have, they've done just that. And by the way, when they take these cases up to the courts of appeals, when they take them up, and we've taken them to the Supreme Court of the United States, we generally win these. They don't. But Jordan, they are nonstop in their desire to remove these crosses. This is like their reason for existence.
Yeah, that's right. And it's a full on assault. So these small towns, communities, places that are not expected to again get a complaint like this, again, it's out of the blue. You could have a cross there for nearly 100 years, like the one that we visited yesterday in Bladensburg, Maryland. No one is paying attention. No one is communicating about it. In fact, you're building around it as a city. You could tell the cities had to do that. The communities had to do that. And all of a sudden, you're facing a potential lawsuit. Economically, things aren't great these days. They're not picking on Washington, D.C. I know you're going to talk about that tomorrow on the broadcast. They're picking on towns which are going to be scared of getting involved in multi-tiered lawsuits that could cost them tens of thousands of dollars, right. So they'd rather just not fight. And that's how these atheists have any success at all, by intimidating smaller communities.
All right, we're going right back to the phones at 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Victor calling from Georgia on line 3. Hi, Victor.
Hey, Jay, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I really appreciate what you guys do.
Thanks.
I heard a caller call in yesterday, and he called these memorials unconstitutional.
Yep.
And it really ticked me off because these lawsuits are absolutely frivolous. And I've never seen this mentioned anywhere in any forum, but nowhere in the First Amendment does it
The phrase separation of church and state's not in it, right. It's called the Free Exercise Clause and the Establishment Clause. And the Establishment Clause, some courts have interpreted very strictly, others not. The Supreme Court has generally deferred to religious practices or for instance, in the Mojave Desert Cross case and in the Mount Soledad Cross case, we went up to the Supreme Court on that one, and it was allowed to stay. But these groups are, as Jordan said, they're relentless. I mean, they continue to fight and fight back aggressively. And, You got to respond to them in court. That's what we do at the ACLJ, and we're going to continue to do that as well. Let's try to get another call in here, Jordan. Let's go to whatever call you think next.
Yeah, let's go to Milagros calling from Florida Online, too. Milagros, welcome to JCCO Live.
Hi, Milagros. Quickly, please.
Hi. I want to thank you guys for the great job.
Thanks.
God bless you all. I was talking to the other gentleman, and the reason I think there are these people want to remove all those crosses is because they know Jesus Christ is real. And
well, they Milagros, I appreciate you calling. We got to take a break here. They don't want the encounter with the cross. That's their big statement. No cross encounters. We're fighting back on this. Over 60,000 of you have joined our committee to stand up for this World War I memorial. You can do it at ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Remember, we're in a matching challenge campaign, which means if you donate to the ACLJ, we get a matching gift for it. Do that at ACLJ.org. We now have the video posted of that World War I memorial with Jordan. So you're going to want to go to ACLJ.org. It is posted there at ACLJ.org. We got a lot more ahead. Updates on some key cases. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255 to fight back against the American Humanist Association.
For nearly 90 years, a memorial has stood in Bladensburg, Maryland, to honor the 49 men from that area who gave their lives in World War I. A historic and patriotic memorial that is now under attack. A group called the American Humanist Association has filed a lawsuit to have the Peace Cross Memorial removed. Those filing the suit say they are, quote, shocked and upset by the cross memorial and have asked a federal court to remove it. This is just the latest in a series of troubling tactics used to attack long-standing war memorials designed to honor America's heroes. The ACLJ is standing with this Maryland town, standing up to this flawed lawsuit, preparing an amicus brief to defend this cross memorial. You can stand with the ACLJ too by signing on to this critical brief. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or you can add your name online, aclj.org. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Everyone, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live, Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. Listen, folks, as we continue to call for the defense of the cross here in Prince George's County, Maryland, these three humanists that have called for bringing that cross down, even though it stood for 90 years, I wanted to play for you a clip from a documentary that we put together called Ringside, and take a look back at the Supreme Court case, Pleasant Grove versus Summum, that Jay argued that really talks about a lot of the issues that are at play here in this Maryland cross case. So let's go ahead and roll this clip. This is from our documentary called Ringside.
I always wanted to argue a Ten Commandment case because I have been dying for years to be able to turn when a justice asked me the question and point to the wall of the ceiling of the Supreme Court of the United States where Moses is holding those Ten Commandments with the words in Hebrew. And I had the chance in this case. Well, Ten Commandment litigation had been going on for decades and not very well. And we had this case coming out of Utah where this little town, Pleasant Grove, wanted to fight back. And this group came in to say, well, if you're going to display a Ten Commandments monument, we want you to display our monument, which was called the Seven Aphorisms, which were basically the anti-Ten Commandments monument. The idea being, if cities are forced to do this, they'll be putting them up all over the country and cities will just remove their Ten Commandments.
This monument with the Ten Commandments has been here nearly 40 years. The Summum want to put their monument with the Seven Aphorisms right where I'm standing. To them, the issue is simple. If you allow one religious monument, you've got to allow another.
Pleasant Grove, Utah urges the justices to rule that just because it considers the Ten Commandments historic enough to include in a city park, it doesn't also have to allow in a monument from a recently organized church called Summum, which believes Moses was given something called the Seven Aphorisms before he got the commandments.
They gather inside a pyramid and practice the rite of mummification. This small band of worshipers call themselves Summa. The group, which has about 20 members, wants to donate a monument to the city of Pleasant Grove, which is near Salt Lake City, but the offer was refused.
What this really boils down to is closing a back door to shutting down displays of the Ten Commandments.
What the Tenth Circuit did here literally threatens to undermine our celebration of American heritage in every little town and big city across the country, from the Statue of Liberty to Pioneer Park in Pleasant Grove, Utah.
Some of them say, like it or not, they've got a right to build their monument, thanks to the First Amendment.
We're talking about a public park. If we were talking about the front lawn of the City Hall, where government unquestionably controls and limits speech, that would be different.
The mayor of Pleasant Grove says this is not about religion. He says the Summer Monument just didn't fit in.
This park is dedicated to the history of the people, the founding of the city, and significant people that have lived and contributed to the community.
I went with a very aggressive strategy, it was controversial at the time, where I said, no, look, this is the government making a decision to speak here. The government has the right to engage in activity. If it wants to promote the Ten Commandments because it has historic significance to the community, both from a political standpoint, a moral standpoint, a religious standpoint, it's a perfect right to do it.
Mr. Speculo, when you come upon this, if somebody comes upon this monument in the park, how are they supposed to tell whether it's government speech or private speech?
Well, of course, the face of it, Mr. Chief Justice, states on the face of the monument that it's presented to Pleasant Grove City in Utah County by the Fraternal Order of Eagles. And as far as a government speech, as far as ownership and control goes, under a more of a Johans analysis, different from Finley and Forbes in that context, here the government exercised control. After all, they allowed it, accepted it, and allowed it to be erected in their property under Utah law, all right, title, and interest to that property. Governments, in the business of governing and determining the parks and the landscape of the parks, make these kind of decisions.
Could you imagine a group coming in saying, well, you know, since you've displayed the Statue of Liberty, we're going to demand that the United States accept our monument, same height as the Statue of Liberty. We're going to call it the Statue of Tyranny, because that's how we view America. Would the United States be compelled to display the Statue of Tyranny, or could they say, no, the government is speaking, and we believe that the United States is a beacon of liberty, and that's why we're going to display the Statue of Liberty? Or at the Holocaust memorials that are throughout the United States in those parks, are you going to have to put a statue to Adolf Hitler because some neo-Nazi group wants it? No. When the government's speaking, it can determine its message.
If this opinion stands, they will now have to accept, but they will be forced to accept, the counterpoint to every statue, every monument, every memorial.
A monumental decision today by the Supreme Court. In Pleasant Grove City, Utah, there's a park, and in it, a monument to the Ten Commandments. A small religious group known as the Sunum thought the park would also be a good place to put a monument of its own, but the city said no, so the group sued, claiming it violated its right to free speech. But today the high court said not so. It ruled unanimously that parks are not required to take every monument they're offered.
I remember during the oral argument, Justice Ginsburg asking me about the Ten Commandments display, and I pointed to my right, because engraved in the Supreme Court frieze up on the wall is the Ten Commandments, Moses holding those Ten Commandments, and the words written in Hebrew.
This court has a depiction of Moses holding the Ten Commandments in the frieze of the courtroom with words written in Hebrew. That's not an endorsement of the religion or of the commandments, it's representative of a history.
And I said, you know, basically, if it's good enough for the Supreme Court of the United States, it certainly is good enough for Pleasant Grove. And nine justices agreed with this. It was a great decision and a great result. It's rare you win a Ten Commandments case, and it's even rarer to win it unanimously, and we did, by God's grace. It was a great victory, still is. So my two favorite aspects of that were, of course, the Ten Commandments and the words in Hebrew. So a friend of mine, Jeff Balaban, who is a very well-known Jewish lawyer, Orthodox, devout guy, he and I went to the Supreme Court of the United States. I want to know what the words that were, because you saw that, it doesn't display all of the Ten Commandments. And I wanted to know what those words were. And actually, it said it was adultery, murder, and steal. That's all it said. Not thou shalt not. It just says murder, adultery, and steal. I was waiting for the moment where I could say this, because I know most of those justices were thinking it's the whole Ten Commandments there, and it wasn't. So Justice Ginsburg is going to give me the question, because we're going to have like a discussion. And Justice Ginsburg went to the same high school as my mother, James Madison High School in New York. And Justice Ginsburg was the editor of the school paper, the Madisonian. And my mother was a classmate, was a couple of years behind her. So whenever I had arguments or discussions with Justice Ginsburg, it was very reminiscent of my home life. So she and I are kind of going at it, and I'm going to give her the three words in Hebrew. And she did not know that's what it was: steal, murder, adultery. But there's two side notes on that. the architect of the Supreme Court used a sculpture designer from Germany to do that rendering. And this was in the 1930s. And he was from Germany. And what was going on in the 1930s in Germany was the rise of the Nazi movement. And the reason it is murder, steal, and adultery, you can imagine, is because the guy basically was an anti-Semite. Now, the Supreme Court didn't know that. The historians did not know that. But later it came out who the guy was and how that happened. So that was one interesting thing. Then my other favorite part is to be now disclosed on for the world to see. I am a huge Beatle fan. I'm a real big Beatle fan. And I was trying to think of, you know, how could I ever get a Supreme Court opinion that would ever mention the Beatles? So we went to New York in preparation for the Sumlin case because I was using Central Park themes in Central Park. And in Central Park, there is a dedication right near the Dakota, which is where John Lennon was assassinated. The citizens of Japan put in a mosaic called Imagine. And it's there, and it's in Strawberry Fields. And I made the arguments in the brief that if the summons was to prevail, that would require New York to put a monument to Mark David Chapman, who assassinated John Lennon, in their park. And that would be ridiculous. So that was in our briefs, and we had all that in there. And then I was going to actually argue that in court. I was going to affirmatively bring up the Beatles. And as I'm walking out the door, our townhouse is across the street from the Supreme Court of the United States, Pam said, do not bring up the Beatle example. These are, you know, you got justices, these are octogenarians. You're going to talk about Mark David Chapman. They're going to have no idea what you're talking about. Well, lo and behold, I did not. It was in our briefs. It was all there. The Supreme Court opinion comes out. Unanimous, 9-0. Footnote. The entire lyrics from the song Imagine, written by, put in there by Justice Alito. So I wanted to send a copy of the Supreme Court opinion to Yoko Ono. But both the justice and I still blame her for, you know, breaking up the Beatles, so I decided not to do that. But I have the only Supreme Court opinion in U.S. history that has not only a reference to the Beatles, but the entire lyrics to the song Imagine. But it was a great experience, and it was a blast of a case to argue, and I got to use the Hebrew, and I got to argue with Justice Ginsburg on this, and then it was unanimous, which was great. So while all that's percolating, over the years, we had every Christmas season, every time that it was, you know, time for celebrating a holiday, there was always a crisis in schools. I mean, and it was sometimes it was the kid couldn't type Jesus on the computer, and other times it was, you know, no Christmas songs. We had a case where the teacher went in, and these are, Pam is a public school teacher. I mean, so I appreciate public school teachers. I actually minored in education, if you can believe this. However, you had to do that student teaching thing, and I quickly learned that was not for me. So, but I went through the public school, so I have a real appreciation for public schools. But these kids were being, I mean, it was, you know, they would cross out the word Jesus in the song that you'd sing at Christmas time. Now, I grew up in New York, okay? I grew up in New York, where my neighborhood, Jericho, Long Island, was 90% Jewish, 10% Italian Catholic. That was the neighborhood. And we sang Christmas songs at Christmas. I was in the band. In fact, I can still do Little Drummer Boy with a little snare for part, little percussion part.
Folks, again, that was from our documentary called Ringside. As we go to a break, I need you to stand in defense of this cross in Maryland. Call now 877-989-2255. Or sign online at aclj.org.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top 2 in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent,
ucla.edu/law.
For nearly 90 years, a memorial has stood in Bladensburg, Maryland, to honor the 49 men from that area who gave their lives in World War I. A historic and patriotic memorial that is now under attack. A group called the American Humanist Association has filed a lawsuit to have the Peace Cross Memorial removed. Those filing the suit say they are, quote, shocked and upset by the Cross Memorial and have asked a federal court to remove it. This is just the latest in a series of troubling tactics used to attack long-standing war memorials designed to honor America's heroes. The ACLJ is standing with this Maryland town, standing up to this flawed lawsuit, preparing an amicus brief to defend this cross memorial. You can stand with the ACLJ too by signing on to this critical brief. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Everyone, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. Listen, in just a moment, I'm going to pivot to this IRS issue and give you an update on the unfolding scandal that continues to develop there. But I want to quickly say a personal word about this Peace Cross that exists in Prince George's County that these three humanists have filed a charge against. Folks, I live in Prince George's County, so this is somewhat, you know, personal to me. And I just have to tell you, just by way of background, Prince George's County is one of the most liberal counties in the United States of America, and that's saying something, especially in the Washington, D.C. area. It is known for its liberal population. But, folks, even in Prince George's County, there is an issue that probably 90% of the population, probably higher than that, agree on, and that is that we honor the men and women of our military who have served their country, and especially those that have laid down their lives, and that is what this memorial, that is what this cross has been about for more than 90 years. So I've got to tell you, when three humanists come to town, or when they suddenly decide, even after knowing about the existence of this cross for 30 years, that they are going to challenge that memorial to our fallen heroes, I got to tell you, the response in our county is going to be swift, and it's going to come from all sides of the political spectrum, left, right, and center. I expect that to happen here in Prince George's County, and of course, ACLJ is going to be front and center in that charge, standing with Prince George's County in defense of that memorial. Folks, I want to quickly pivot to this IRS issue. I'm sure many of you saw that last week, or a couple of days ago, actually, the House Oversight Committee put out a very comprehensive report outlining Lois Lerner's involvement in this case, outlining her political bias, outlining the fact that she was really at the center of this widespread targeting scandal to target conservatives, particularly the Tea Party movement over the course of the last couple of election cycles. This report from the House Oversight Committee is very compelling, has a large amount of evidence outlining the case against Lois Lerner specifically, and of course, I would suggest that it likely goes a lot further up the ladder than Lois Lerner, but Lois Lerner definitely was involved. The evidence is in on her. I think it would be in her best interest to come and testify. Of course, you know that she has so far declined to do so. However, folks, Jay was on Fox News yesterday with Bill Hemmer talking about this report that was released by the House Oversight Committee, talking about some of the evidence that was in there, and then some of the next steps that are available to the House of Representatives. I wanted you to hear that interview. Let's go ahead and roll it now. Again, this is Jay with Bill Hemmer on Fox News.
My counsel has advised me that I have not waived my constitutional rights under the Fifth Amendment, and on his advice, I will decline to answer any question on the subject matter of this hearing.
So you're not going to tell us who wanted to fix the problem caused by Citizens United?
On the advice of my counsel, I respectfully exercise my Fifth Amendment right and decline to answer that question.
Former IRS official Lois Lerner, so far refusing to answer questions about Congress, or rather from Congress, about the targeting scandal. There are new emails released today that could mean she may soon face contempt charges. Jay Sekulow represents dozens of nonprofit organizations targeted by the tax agency. And Jay, welcome back here to HQ. The emails, hey, you've seen them. What do they tell us?
I think the most troubling aspect of the emails is you have one where they were clearly Lois Lerner
was cognizant of the fact that this increased scrutiny would might well result in litigation, which, of course, ultimately it has. And when you look at that and what she wrote, she slow-tracked these approval processes and these reviews because of this concern of litigation, and it may challenge their ability to control political speech, which, of course, was not within the IRS's purview in the first place. But it tells you, kind of gives you an insight into what she was thinking, what the leadership of the IRS was thinking, as they went through this process of intentionally tracking these nonprofit applications and slowing them down because of the politics involved. And that raises, of course, a whole host of new questions, which she's not going to answer, by the way, under the Fifth, unless she's held
so
in contempt.
The president,
because when you look at the whole scope now, we know they were working on changing the rules before, 2 years before this whole plan became public. They were doing it what they called off plan. And now, of course, you've got the emails, which now really set forth that they knew they were under a microscope on what may well be a civil litigation, which ultimately happened.
You know, off plan raised a lot of eyebrows because off plan would suggest we need to take this thing offline and talk about in person, face to face, or over the phone without an email track or a type track, correct?
Precisely.
So the president said not a smidgen of corruption in that Super Bowl interview with Bill O'Reilly. Do these emails prove otherwise? Prove otherwise.
Absolutely. You've got a practice and pattern of activities now in writing that show both communication going between the IRS and the FEC, which is inappropriate, that should not have been allowed, about the situation with Citizens United. You've got emails coming out from Lois Lerner and others, and people even in chief counsel's office, higher up than Lois Lerner's. That was the office I used to work in. And they are saying that they want this off plan, as you mentioned. And then you've got this specific, very targeted idea that they may well be facing real litigation here over political speech, and we need to be cognizant of this. So I think when you put it all together, you don't have to be a tax law specialist to understand that the IRS was engaged in a pattern and practice of activities for the sole purpose of silencing a particular viewpoint. And the Supreme Court, in the cases I've handled, have always been unanimous when it came to viewpoint discrimination.
The
court just does not tolerate it.
Two
that's
other
exactly
points here, and they are important, too. I've got a minute to get through this, okay, Jay? The report suggests that she took steps to crack down on these groups. Now, what specific steps did Lois Lerner take to carry that out?
She pulled the files from the actual normal process that it would go through. She took it out of the normal process, and she put it in a special category which stopped the approvals, Bill. And that's the biggest right there. She actually had them freeze the application process, and that's what's caused all of the problem. That's when we first all started realizing there's a real problem here.
Okay, the other thing is that report says that she deliberately, or I shouldn't say deliberately, but that she misled Congress about targeting and also about her own conduct. You as an attorney trying to get to the bottom of all this, what's more effective legally now, Jay? Do you hold her in contempt? Or is there another legal avenue that would perhaps extract the answers that you're looking for?
Well, you could try a special prosecutor, but Bill, the reality is, I think you got to move forward with the contempt proceeding. She was interviewed by the Department of Justice, and the indications that we've received is that she was not under oath when she did the Q&A with the Department of Justice. So it's either a special prosecutor or she's held in contempt. She is clearly one of the key points, the key central figures in this. She's not the only one, but she clearly had an agenda, and that agenda was to silence these groups. And she was pretty effective in doing that. She's just being called on the carpet now because she's been caught, and so is the IRS.
All right, Jay, thank you so much. Jay Sekulow, we'll see whether or not they act any. Ideas there at the end. Jay Sekulow out of Tennessee. Thanks.
Folks, again, that was Jay on with Bill Hemmer. Listen, over the course of the next 10 days, the House of Representatives and specifically the House Oversight Committee, as they're on recess, are going to be evaluating whether or not to hold Lois Lerner in contempt of Congress. That report that you heard Jay talking about, as well as a new set of emails that has been turned over to the House Ways and Means Committee, are going to be at the center of that analysis. I think when Congress returns, you are most likely going to see the House pursue contempt of Congress charges against Lois Lerner. We will, of course, keep you updated on what they decide to do. But, folks, as we close close the broadcast today, I need you to stand with the residents of Prince George's County, Maryland. Stand in favor of this memorial to their fallen heroes, the 49 men who gave their lives in service to their country and to their county, the county in which I live, folks. Stand with them in defense of this memorial. Call now 877-989-2255 or sign online at aclj.org. These three humanists may think that they can usurp the honor that has been bestowed on these 49 members for the last 90 years. But at ACLJ, we're not going to let that happen, and we ask you to stand with us. 877-989-2255.
This is just the latest in a series of troubling tactics used to attack long-standing war memorials designed to honor America's heroes. The ACLJ is standing with this Maryland town, standing up to this flawed lawsuit, preparing an amicus brief to defend this cross memorial. You can stand with the ACLJ too by signing on to this critical brief. Call now 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.